reading we heard just a few moments ago these words, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. That's Matthew 25:13. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we begin this morning with a bit of news concerning ISIS, that is the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. For it seems, so the reports, it's about done for. The last city it controls being under siege at this very moment. So that which over the last 3 years was an effort to establish, to carve out a section of the countries of Iraq and Syria to form an Islamic society of the purest form has failed. But what was the point? What was the point of ISIS, of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, of creating such a country or a caliphate, as they call it? The point was that it was believed if such a state were created here on earth, the Islamic Messiah, the eschatological redeemer of Islam called the Mahdi, the guided one, would appear. That Mahdi would then rule for 5 or 7, 9 or 19 years, depending on the sources, and with the help of Jesus, yes, Jesus, establish righteousness and justice on earth. Now, there are Orthodox Jews today who have similar beliefs, that is, beliefs that when the Messiah, that is a human descendant of the line of King David, finally makes himself known, world peace will be established, but not in Iraq, or not from Iraq and Syria, but from Israel, from Jerusalem, some form or another. All the nations of the world then will acknowledge the God of the Old Testament as the only God. Many modern evangelicals think similarly, only posing the idea that Christ himself, true God and true man, will descend from heaven and reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, establishing his kingdom here on earth, assisted by loyal Christians. And of course, the disciples of Jesus, when they first encountered him 2,000 years ago, they were thinking similar thoughts. When Andrew said to Simon, "We've found the Messiah," it's probably with this idea in mind. That is, that some sort of messianic kingdom was in the making there in Judea. "If you are the Christ," that is the Messiah, "tell us," was demanded of Jesus at his trial before the Sanhedrin. And shortly before his ascension into heaven, even after his resurrection, Jesus' disciples ask, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" Now, what all these instances, these expectations of some sort of messianic kingdom have in common is quite obvious. All expected that with the arrival of the Messiah, however the Messiah was defined, something good was going to take place. Something wondrous, something awesome. But not so in our Old Testament reading from the prophet Amos. There we heard these words of the Lord, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It's darkness, not light. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into the house and laid his hand against the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness?" Now, what was the point? The point of these words from the prophet Amos? Well, those in the prophet's day who were desiring some sort of the Lord's day of the coming of the Messiah didn't know, didn't realize that that day for them, it would be a day of judgment. So the idea of running from a lion and meeting a bear, running into a house for safety and only to be bitten by a snake, if those who were living sinfully at that time thought that the coming of Messiah would put an end to their sufferings which were a result of their sin, they had another thing coming. So today, any type of understanding of the last day of the return of Christ, which does not understand it to be a day of judgment for all mankind, for the living and the dead, well, it's misguided. It's wrong. But it's not as if man, basic man on the street, doesn't get this, that there's a coming reckoning. I mean, man may not get it as far as the return of Christ is returned, or is concerned as much as for death itself, which is each person's day of judgment, unless Christ returns first. So the other night, I heard a British comedian remark frustratingly in her routine in London that she is simply a soul trapped in a body that she didn't ask to be born, and she was very frightened to die. And the crowd there, the crowd in London, the crowd hearing these sentiments expressed by the comedian, they clapped wildly. That is, they agreed with her. For they too apparently had come to the conclusion that they didn't ask to be here on earth to live life and looking forward to death. They were experiencing nothing but fear. So what then? What do we do with this day of judgment, with this day that Christ does indeed return to judge the living and the dead? Well, it must be pointed out that as Christians, as followers of Christ, those who believe in him, we've been prepared. And we are being prepared for the return of Christ, even for our deaths before that return. Yes, we're being prepared and we are prepared. How so? Well, the Holy Spirit has given us that which is needed for us to live in not some sort of false expectation of the last day, thinking that somehow it will be a day when we will not be held accountable for our sins, as in the Old Testament reading, but to live in sober confidence that such a judgment for sin will not be leveled against us. I'll repeat that. The Holy Spirit has given us that so that we can live in a sober confidence that such judgment for sin will not be leveled against us. How so? Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit within us, that is faith. Faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is the oil in the lamps of the parable but faith? Faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. And if we have faith in our Savior Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior from death, we need not fear death, for we know that what Christ has done, as far as death is concerned, it applies to us. Through faith in Christ, Christ gives us what he is, and that is his holiness and his righteousness and even his blessedness. No, we will not stand on the last day with our own holiness and righteousness and blessedness, but only on the last day will we stand with the holiness and righteousness and blessedness of Christ to which we are entitled. Entitled, yes, through faith. Just like a Wi-Fi connection gains us access to the internet and all that is there, so faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ grants us access to what he is and what he's done for us, resulting in nothing other than the forgiveness of our sin. So if that is so, and we stand forgiven, when Christ returns, we will be like the wise virgins in the parable and we'll be welcomed into the heavenly banquet. That is, we'll be welcomed into heaven. So why then are we scared? Why are we scared? Why, as Christians, when we think of the last day, are we frightened? Well, the short answer to that question is that we still have a foot in this world. That is, we still have a part of us, our sinful nature, otherwise known as our old Adam. And the old Adam, it's active within us. Now, the thing about the old Adam is that he knows that he has no part in the eternal life of the new man, that the return of Christ will be his judgment, as those who have been redeemed by Christ and forgiven by Christ will also be renewed by Christ. That is, their old Adams will be done away with completely once and for all. So our fear of the last day right now as Christians, therefore, it stems from our old Adam, and we need to realize that and not panic. For that fear, it's like the fear we have when we're driving on a mountain road, like Trail Ridge Road out in Colorado. Many of you have done that. And just because we fear as we drive that road, that doesn't mean that we're going to drive off the road and plummet down the mountainside. Yes, we fear. But yes, we arrive safely at our destination. The fear doesn't mean that we will not arrive. I'll repeat that. The fear doesn't mean that we will not arrive. Simply fear. Same is true when it comes to the last day. If we find ourselves in fear of the return of Christ, it doesn't mean that we will not be ushered into heaven. It simply means that our old Adam is still part of our lives. And looking towards that day, that moment, he has justly nothing but fear. That being so, however, it's not as if we can ignore that fear. Our text is a simple one. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Watch, therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour. What's the point? The point of the parable even, but that we should throughout our lives never find ourselves lacking, completely lacking in faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? For the simple reason that we don't know when he will return. And that being the case, we need always to have faith in our hearts, faith in our Lord and Savior, faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior from this world. Practically, what does this mean? But that we should avoid, even flee from those things that drive faith from us, like the repeated sin about which we think there will be no consequences. And we should embrace those things which increase and strengthen faith in our hearts, like the daily hearing and learning and praying of the Word of God and the regular reception of the Lord's Supper. Of all the reasons to read our Bibles daily, that is to remain in the Word of God, this is truly simple to understand. And that is that it's through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts so that we are strengthened in faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's faith in our Savior, that we need to stand on the last day redeemed and restored and forgiven in our Lord. But that does not mean faith is not needed now. This moment. Why? Well, do we really wish to live in fear daily, like that poor British comedian, like that room full of people who all agreed that they too lived in such a way? Of course not. That means that one wonderful aspect of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now is a daily life in which the old Adam, it's drowned and dies so that we need not live in fear of our own death or even in fear of the return of Jesus Christ. In fact, the return of Christ, the thought of the return of Christ, it's to encourage us. Yes, encourage us. So the Apostle Peter, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Our window can do that for us, right? Can encourage us. Christ is going to return and we are going to be with him. It's awesome. With oil in our lamps, with faith in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in our hearts, these words are those not of fear but of courage. The creation of courage, of encouragement to always be ready for the return of Christ with faith in our hearts. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.